So in working on this project of expanding who and what we think is important, enlarging it from me, I, my, and mine to all beings in the universe. And similarly in this endeavor of having a heart that doesn't see scarcity but sees abundance and wants to give and share. It's quite an endeavor, and it's going to take us a while to completely transform our minds to live like that. You know, first of all, having the motivation, and then having our external environment and our words and our speech accord with it. So it's very important as we do this to really keep our focus on the goal of enlightenment, yet enjoy the process of getting there. Okay? Sometimes we lose our goal and just become involved in the daily repetition of things, in which case everything becomes flat. Sometimes we hold on to the goal, but we lose the joy in the process because we're too much fixated on the goal. So we need some kind of middle way here, you know, where our goal of enlightenment and benefiting others is held clear, and yet we enjoy the process step by step as we go along it, and we don't get hung up in why hasn't the goal been actualized yet. Because we have been raised in a school system that is, you know, get your grade and the process is irrelevant. Yeah, and that just makes us a little bit crazy because we can't always control when the result is going to come. And so that's why it's so important in taking joy in the process and in feeling good about what we're doing day by day. So instead of comparing ourselves to the goal of, you know, a Buddha that we want to be and then feeling like we're failures, because that's totally unrealistic. We should look at where we were and see at how we're improving and rejoice at that. Okay? And the more we can rejoice, even at the small changes we make, the more inspired we become and the more courageous that we become in the process of practicing. But if we always make up some kind of ideal and then compare ourselves to that and go through life feeling like, well, you know, I'm nowhere, then you're never going to get anywhere. Yeah. So it's really important, you know, how we turn things here and how we look at stuff. Because we tend to be so hard on ourselves. I mean, really hard on ourselves. Like, if we treated other people the way we treat ourselves, we wouldn't have any friends. You know, I think this is one of our biggest hindrances as Westerners in Buddhism, is that we are so hard on ourselves. We are so judgmental, you know, and picking faults at ourselves and all of this. But then you're going to say, but wait a minute, I feel like I'm quite arrogant. Well, you know why we get arrogant? It's because we're so down on ourselves. Because wherever you find one extreme, you're going to find the other one. They go hand in hand. Okay? So if we're like just so, the way we talk to ourselves is so insulting, yeah? Then, to try and make ourselves feel better, we go on these arrogant trips of, I'm so wonderful. Okay? On the other hand, if we aren't so hard on ourselves, then there is space to have some self-confidence in our abilities without getting arrogant about them, and also some humility that is willing to learn from others. Okay, and that's a much more balanced way of viewing things, yeah, with humility and self-confidence, rather than with low self-esteem and arrogance. Okay? So something to think about and to really look at how we view ourselves and how there's a kind of self-talk that goes on in the mind. Oh, it's horrible sometimes. Really. You know, we're so unnecessarily hard on ourselves. And yet, you know, we need to nurture ourselves and, you know, encourage ourselves the same way that we encourage others and have some kind of faith in ourselves. We're not going to be perfect by next Tuesday, and that's okay, you know. But day by day, we do a little bit. We take our baby steps, and we'll get there. Okay? It's the whole tortoise and hare thing. My dad just got a little scooter because he's having pain in his legs and it's hard to walk even though he has a walker. So his little scooter, it has a little, you know, it's a hand electric thing that you go like this to make it go. And it has a turtle on that side and a bunny rabbit on that side. And you put it on the turtle when you're in department stores so you don't run somebody down. And you put it on the bunny rabbit when you're outside so you can go a little bit faster. But it points out that for each situation, there's something appropriate to do. You know? If you put it on the bunny rabbit in the middle of the store, that's not good. Yeah. If you put it on the turtle when he's out in the middle of nowhere, you know, he's just not going to get anywhere very fast. So it's this thing of, you know, there's knowing what's appropriate for a situation instead of just saying, you know, like that. Because we either have the gas floored or we say, oh, I'm not doing it right, and we stop totally. And that doesn't work. Okay. Yeah, we have to do what's appropriate for the situation. Somewhere between the turtle and the hare. Depending on the situation. Yeah. Okay. So our next section here is called How Giving Gets Rid of the Afflictions. Okay, so our mental afflictions, they are all rooted in ignorance that misapprehends how things exist, including ourselves. And from this fundamental ignorance then exaggerates the attractiveness of certain things and gets attached to them, exaggerates the negativity of other things and gets angry and upset with them, and then from there gets confused about other things and how to relate, and then from there proliferate all sorts of other mental afflictions, which are either disturbing attitudes and wrong views or disturbing emotions. Okay? And so here's how, explaining how being generous helps to subdue the afflictions. Okay? So how we will benefit from generosity. As for this dharma of giving, if it is done in order to seek the path, one is able to achieve success even in the path of humans. So if we have the motivation to attain the path of enlightenment, then we get the results that are also good this life and in future lives. How is this so? The destruction of the fetters is what qualifies as the basis of nirvana. So what is nirvana? It is the destruction of the afflictions.